Grace you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. As many of you already know, I am the middle of three boys. My older brother is 2 years and 5 days older than me. My parents wanted us 2 years apart, but they didn't plan very well. And when my younger brother was born, I was 3.5 months shy of my second birthday. So my parents had three boys all under the age of four. Talk about poor planning. But speaking of planning, I'm the only one who was planned. That's just a fact. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm the only one who was wanted, but I'm the only one who was planned. Infer from that what you will. Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking, but I'm glad that they did. As we grew up, three tow-headed boys, we played soccer and baseball, and we ran around the 20 acres where we lived. I told them in the 8:30 service which one is me. Any guesses? I'm not the one holding the groceries. Yeah, the one on the step. That made me look a lot taller than my younger brother. I wasn't that much taller. Anyway, every Sunday, we sat in the back pew of the church next to Tom Martins, who was supposed to help keep us quiet, but actually did more to make us noisy than he did to prevent us from being noisy. Like, right, Ma? Yeah, pretty much. And my mom and dad and Tom's wife, Lorna, all sang in the choir, and the choir loft was in the back of the church, so we sat in the back pew because they thought it would help if we knew that they could see us. And maybe it did. I'm not sure. We did get in a fair amount of trouble. And we were not always kind to each other, but I recommend you be kind to your brothers. I recommend that, yeah. But we always maintained a united front if somebody else was being unkind toward any one of us. Now, having grown up well before VeggieTales was a thing, I, like most of you, not all of you, we got some younger folks here, first heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Sunday school. Now you may have heard it on, or my kids heard it from VeggieTales, but I first heard about it in Sunday school. We didn't hear about it during worship because the Revised Common Lectionary never includes this text to be read during a regular Sunday worship service. It shows up as an option in year B in the Easter Vigil if you wanted to do one of the alternative texts. But that's a long way to go to hear this story. Somebody on the 8:30 service told me that they learned about them from a musical that they were in, a kid's cantata they were in about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anyway, if this is your first time, you'll always remember that this was your first time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among the Jewish leaders who were removed from Jerusalem when the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, conquered Judah, and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. And when they did that, King Nebuchadnezzar identified who the leaders had been in Jerusalem and removed them from the city. And then they put Babylonian leaders in the city to help rule and monitor these people who they had just conquered to make sure that they were becoming like the Babylonians. And the people that they took out of Jerusalem, these leaders, religious and political leaders, they brought to Babylon. But we might think of them as exiles, as being prisoners, but they actually weren't in the way that we think of them. They actually brought them to Babylon and did their best to utilize the gifts that they had for the good of the Babylonian kingdom, right? I mean, these were people who'd been leaders. Now they just needed to get them to become loyal to Nebuchadnezzar and this new kingdom. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among the satraps, prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, and the magistrates, whom Nebuchadnezzar began to require would all bow down to worship the golden statue that they had just dedicated. That happened in those seven verses that we didn't read from Daniel chapter 3, but if we had read those seven verses, the sermon would just be beginning now. So this story, this statue in this story, was absurd. 60 cubits is about 90 feet or 9 stories tall. It's pretty tall. 6 cubits is about 9 feet wide. Now, 9 feet would be wide for a person, but it's not that wide for a building. Most of your bedrooms are bigger than 9 feet wide. So 9 feet wide, 90 feet tall. This was no statue. This was a spire. And one of the questions that gets raised is, where do they get enough gold to build such a thing? This was well before they were just going to put gold on the outside, right? I mean, or just make it shiny so you would think it was gold. Now, its size and proportions are ridiculous. But so too is every other fact or detail of this story. One commentator suggested or compared it to a political satire cartoon where all the features are exaggerated. Now, those of you who are younger, who learned about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, political satire cartoons were, it used to be in this thing called, we call the newspaper. It came to your house, and it was printed, and anyway. So, to begin with, the ridiculous things in this story, I mean, one of them is the list of names of those who are gathered, right? This list of officials. And in addition to that, also ridiculous is the list of instruments that were being played. And this idea that every time that they mention it, they repeat that full list of names, and it is ridiculous, almost like a chant that would lull the reader and possibly the hearer into a suggestive trance, and maybe that was the intent. And I saw that that worked when Judy was reading. Some of you were really focused, I think, had your eyes closed and were really focused on the reading. When the music began, when the music of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the drum, and the entire musical ensemble began to play, the people were supposed to fall down or fall asleep to worship the golden statue. And they all did, with the exception of a few. There's always a few who don't do as they are instructed. And this may have very well gone unnoticed by Nebuchadnezzar, and actually it seemed to have gone unnoticed, except for the fact that these Chaldeans snitched to King Nebuchadnezzar about these certain Jews who weren't bowing as they had been instructed. Now, the Chaldeans' motives were certainly political. While the motives of the three were clearly based in their faith and their allegiance to God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down and worship this ridiculous statue, because doing so, they understood, would have violated the first commandment, that you shall have no other gods before me. Now, I suppose they could have done as they were commanded and just kept their fingers crossed as they bowed down and pretended to worship this statue, but rather than doing that, they refused. In a demonstration of their deep faith, they decided that it was better to be thrown into the fire than to bow down to that ridiculous statue. Now, it's important to note that, and you may have missed this point in the reading, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided not to bow down to the statue, and knowing that they would be thrown into the fire, they didn't yet know if God would deliver them from the fire. When they refused to bow down, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, "If our God we serve is able to save us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship that golden statue." That ridiculous golden statue, I would have added in there. Talk about faith. See, these three men could have easily lost confidence in Yahweh when their town, Jerusalem, had been conquered. They could have lost confidence in Yahweh when their temple, where they worship, was destroyed. They could have lost confidence and faith in God when Nebuchadnezzar took them out of Jerusalem and brought them to Babylon. But they didn't. Even though they weren't sure if God would spare them from the flames, they knew that they couldn't worship Nebuchadnezzar or this ridiculous statue. Now, in light of what we know about Nebuchadnezzar, it's no surprise that King Nebuchadnezzar would order this furnace to be cranked up to a ridiculous temperature. Ridiculous. So hot that the men that he assigned to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace were incinerated themselves. Now that's a fire. Ridiculous, right? And out of these flames, right, these flames, they didn't even singe a single hair on the heads of the three, right? We read that their clothes weren't harmed, and when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. We went to a friend's house Thanksgiving night, and they had a fire pit going, and I wasn't even that close to it. But you get home, you smell like smoke. Can you imagine being in the pit? Seems like you would be pretty stinky. These three were not only protected by God, but God joined them in the furnace. When Nebuchadnezzar noticed a fourth person in the fire, the king ordered them to come out. And when they did, Nebuchadnezzar vowed devotion to their God. It's important to note here that he doesn't say that their God is the only God. He vows devotion to their God in addition to all the other gods he's already committed himself to, because why would you risk offending any one God if that God happened to be the one who could help you in your time of need? So you just add another God to your list of gods that you should bow down to. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. And he promoted these three once again within the province of Babylon. Again, what is so amazing about this story, I think, is the faith of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. It's not that God was faithful to them. We know that God is faithful, right? That's who God is. What's amazing, miraculous actually, is the faith of these three who refused to deny their God, even though it meant they knew they were going to be thrown into this fiery furnace, where all logic would suggest that they would be burned to death. They didn't know if God would protect them from the fire, but they knew that a life lived in relationship with a loving God, no matter how short it might last, was far better than a life lived without God. A life lived denying God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to give their lives to demonstrate their love of God. Who among us would be willing to do the same? With uncertainty, to willingly allow ourselves to be thrown into a fiery pit or put in an uncomfortable situation. There are many things, people, and beliefs in this world today that ask us to bow down to them, as Mr. Justin was trying to demonstrate in our children's message. They want us to show devotion to them, to place our trust in them instead of, or at least ahead of, our devotion and our trust in God. And it might seem simple, easy, cross our fingers, pretend like we're not doing it, go through the motions, but not really believe it, but have all the appearances that we are standing in line, that we're bowing down, and then nobody was harmed. When in fact, in doing so, we are selling. So the question is, in whom do you place your devotion? Is it primarily in your family, in your job, in your government, in your work ethic, your military, the size of your bank account, your education? Do you put more faith in those things than you do in God? It might seem ridiculous, but God is the one who joins us in the fiery furnaces, most of which we create ourselves, right? If we're being honest. And yet, God can be the last one we turn to when we really need help. We bust out a credit card. We call and yell at somebody on the phone. We don't think to stop and pray, to turn to our church family for help in a time of need. God joins us in the fiery furnace of our own making, and then God offers us a way out. You see, just as God delivered these three from certain death in the furnace, God has delivered us from certain death that our sins have created and deserve. You see, God, out of God's gracious love for us, has sent God's one and only Son as the means to new life with him and through him. For he is the one who gave his life in order that we might have life through him. He not only went into that fiery furnace willingly, but he allowed himself to be led to a cross where he gave his life for us in order that we might come out of the depths of the fiery pit, the depths of our sin, to live in, with, and through him. So this Advent season, let us bow down and worship him, whose birth we await, whose love gives us life, who has come and will come again, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.